Each year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, our lessons focus on Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, I have to confess that if you're like me, you probably in this 21st century don't have a lot of experience of encountering and interacting with sheep or seeing shepherds at work shepherding their sheep. And I think there's a certain danger for us who are removed from sheep and shepherds to have a romanticized view of sheep. We think of those furry, cuddly, little, sweet, docile creatures. We might even hold stereotypes about sheep, such as they're not very intelligent. I'm not sure I should confess this, but I have a propensity to watch BBC documentaries. And I have watched several recently that actually talk about sheep and shepherds and the importance of them in the life in the UK. And I learned something new about sheep I did not know, which is with a cow, you can push it and it will move. You can't push sheep. Sheep are creatures that like to be led. So once they establish a relationship with a shepherd, they will follow that shepherd. They look to that shepherd to lead them, to gather them, to bring them, and also, of course, to protect them. And once they establish that relationship, they won't go anywhere without the shepherd. So shepherds are very important for the well-being of the flock. But there's also something interesting about Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd. In the first century, shepherds were at the margins of society. They were not considered to be the most respectable and desirable of people. I mean, they literally lived outside of the center of society. And so there's a way in which it's remarkable that Jesus identifies himself with shepherds. But of course, that reflects Jesus' desire to go to all people, including those forgotten, those at the margins, and to gather everyone, including those the rest of the world ignores. This notion of Jesus as the Good Shepherd also can lead us to think about good in the sense of the opposite of bad. But in the Greek, it's a slightly different meaning. That word good, while it can mean the opposite of bad, it means something more. It often is used to mean the model, the exemplar, the one who embodies the very characteristic. So it is Jesus who is the one who is the Good Shepherd, the one who is the model shepherd, who embodies what it means to be a shepherd, the one who is so concerned with the well-being of the entire flock, as well as each individual, the one who gathers the flock, who protects the flock, who even gives his life for the flock. And so it is that through his death and resurrection, we share through the waters of baptism in that journey from death to life, from the enslavement to the powers of sin and death in this world, into that new creation we will be in eternal life. We are that flock that through his death and resurrection, Jesus claims forever and will never let us go. And this relationship of Jesus and the flock, Jesus the Good Shepherd and the sheep, is one of deep intimacy, for Jesus knows the name of each member of the flock. And those in the flock know his voice, adhere it, and follow. It's so fitting, I think, that we have this gospel on this day when we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the first service in this church back in 1917. For it has been a century that the Redeemer has worshipped in this holy space, that this building has been a sign of God's love to the community, and that the members of this parish have sought to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, to hear the call of the Good Shepherd, and to follow where the Shepherd leads. We have a wonderful history of the parish written by Joe and Sandy De Palma. I find myself rereading it regularly, because it tells such a compelling story of our journey as a community. A journey that begins in 1859 with three women praying to discern if God is calling them to be part of founding a new parish, a parish for the northern section of the city. For St. John's, which becomes our cathedral eventually, at that point was bursting at the seams. There was no more room. So maybe God is calling them to begin the work of founding a new parish. And so, After praying, they discerned that that indeed was what God was calling. And so we were founded in 1859 and built a building on North Main Street. At our founding, we had the concern that all would be able to worship here. And so we were founded with no pew rent, the first in the state to do so. Now, there's great risk in this. That'd be like me saying to you, we're going to stop pledging. How do we support ourselves? But they considered that what was more important was that people could come, whether they had the financial means or not, to rent a pew. And so all were welcome. And then you hear in the history rectors saying, folks, you need to give us some money. We need donations. We have our benefactor of the time, Mr. Angel, who makes up the shortfalls. They found a way to make it work while having that commitment that anyone who walked through the door should be able to worship here. So the parish flourished and grew. Sunday school thrived. We built a parish house. But the neighborhood was changing. North Main Street was becoming more industrial and more commercial. And there was a brand new neighborhood up at the top of the hill along Hope Street that was being founded. Makes me nervous to say this next thing. In 1909, on the 50th anniversary, the bishop at the time, the Right Reverend William McVicar, at the anniversary, I worry what bishops might say at an anniversary like this, Bishop McVicar said to the congregation assembled, "The Church of the Redeemer must be moved." And he continued, "If the rector and members of this parish decide to move, I promise to raise the first $1,000 toward the expense of such action. And I promise furthermore to raise that amount within a week." The congregation applauded and supported this. It was unanimous. Now, I just want to note that $1,000 in 1909 equals about $26,000 today. But the bishop was able to read the sign of the times, and had talked with the rector and the wardens and the vestry, and understood the context was changing. And so the parish took a great and bold risk and sold that building and began the process of moving here to Hope Street. On May 1st, in 1917, ground was broken for the new church. The cornerstone was laid on July 1st. And then on Easter Day, 1918, the first service was held in the new church. And as a tribute to Bishop McVicar, the baptistry was dedicated in his memory. It was dedicated for the leadership, for the vision, for the support he had given for this bold undertaking. And so here we are, 100 years later, celebrating the anniversary of this move and of the dedication of this new building. Several things in our history strike me as I read it, qualities of our community that continue to the present. The first is one I've already mentioned. From 1859 to the present, we have sought to be a community of inclusion, a community that welcomes all who enter it. This begins with rejecting pew rentals and saying, no, we're going to be a free church. But it also continues with commitments made through the past 100 years to the commitment to the full inclusion of women in the life of the church, both ordained and lay, which included calling our last rector, the Reverend Joanne Drake, who was the first woman ordained from the Diocese of Rhode Island. It includes a story I heard at the first animal blessing when I was your first year rector back 6 years ago. It was a story of a woman who came up to me and said she holds this parish in high esteem because back in the 1960s, her feminist group couldn't find a church to rent them space. Churches were afraid of their group. And the Redeemer rented them space. It continued into the 1990s, work for the full inclusion of LGBT people. I stand before you as your rector as part of your commitment to inclusion. And it has manifested itself in the present in our commitment to work for racial reconciliation, to build relationships in our community across the dividing lines of race and class. And so a constant value of this community has been the welcome of all people and the undertaking of that hard work of justice so that all are included, so that our world will not be so divided. So our world will be healed, the world which seems so deaf to the call of the Good Shepherd, the one who draws all people into one flock. Another important quality of this community is our commitment to a life of prayer. As you heard me say, we were founded in 1859 after several women prayed. seeking to discern God's will. These past years, we have been doing the same, hoping to hear and to discern God's call to us in the present. We've expanded our liturgical and prayer life. We are working to place God at the center of who we are as a community and all that we do. And as a result, we are growing in depth of spiritual practice and discipleship. And in praying, we have felt the Holy Spirit at work. We have felt the Spirit of God active in this place, giving us call. One of the fruits of that is the work we have undertaken this year for the founding of the Circle of Hope Youth Choir, an ambitious vision for young people in an expanded music program. People from the community, people from the parish coming together to make music and to build significant community. Now, I won't lie, the work has been slower than we anticipated. We don't yet have young people singing, but we have been building intentional relationships across the fault lines of division. We've been building relationships across those lines of race and class and seeking to embody Jesus' call to be one flock of one shepherd by doing the important work of reconciliation. As we begin our second century on Hope Street, the future looks bright. God has so abundantly blessed us as a community, has given us new life. We're experiencing growth in every way. We are blessed by new people joining the community, bringing energy and new vision, sharing new gifts with us. Our financial stewardship is strong as we increasingly live as people of gratitude, as faithful stewards of all God has given us. And so on this 100th anniversary of the move to Hope Street, may we give thanks for being gathered in this place as the body of Christ. May we give thanks for those who have gone before us, who have dared to live the call of God with boldness. May we give thanks for their vision, their faithfulness, their financial support, which we continue to benefit from, and for the risk they took for the sake of the gospel. And may we in our second century build upon their legacy, seeking to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd, who calls us by name, who gathers us into community. And may we always welcome all whom God sends to us, welcoming them into this community, seeing in them the presence of Jesus, that we may always be a people of welcome who embrace all, and a people who work for justice in this world, that we are always agents of God's love working for the reconciliation of all people. And above all, as we move into this new century, may we seek to discern God's call to us, to be faithful in prayer and worship, that we might begin this new era filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might do the work that God calls us to do. Amen.